track 16. And we leave the final words, as always, to Mike Liggins, who wonders if finding a special cricket bat is a sign.
Do you believe in signs? I'm talking about the sort of sign that something momentous is about to happen. An omen. A portent. The reason I ask this question is that I have recently received what I think might be a sign. It's all very mysterious. So let me tell you the story and you can decide. I was working in one of the rooms at Emmaus, Norfolk and Waveney. As some of you will know, the homeless charity is based in the old All Hallows Convent at Ditchingham, south of Norwich. It's a wonderfully atmospheric place with a shop and a cafe, and it's open to the public, so if you haven't been yet, I'd recommend a visit. I was typing away on my laptop when I noticed an old cricket bat in the corner of the room. I played a bit of cricket when I was younger, and these days, if I see a bat, I find it hard to resist the temptation to pick it up and execute a perfectly timed cover drive. And sure enough, that's exactly what I did. A cricket lover from an early age, I played in the garden at home in the Midlands and on the beach while I was on holiday. When I was 12 and starting to play in school teams, I was lucky enough to get a bat for my birthday. It was made by Gunn and Moore, and I was incredibly proud of it. Sadly, I wasn't much of a batsman. Come to think of it, I wasn't much of a bowler or a fielder, but I loved the game just the same. When I was playing in the garden with my friends, I was a giant. With my new bat and a tennis ball, we didn't just play garden cricket, we created a whole fantasy world. We tried to imitate the actions of bowlers we admired. I loved one of the great West Indian fast bowlers of the day, Michael Holding, and often imagined myself bowling with the same wonderful athleticism and the same devastating results. We also commentated on the action, impersonating the great commentators of the day, John Arlott, Jim Laker, Richie Beno and others. I can still hear their voices today. But sadly, when it came to the white heat of battle, to the pressure of a school match, I was absolute rubbish. I was a bit frightened of the hard ball, could rarely bowl straight, and my lovely Gunn and Moore bat was about as useful as a chocolate teapot. But let's return to the present day and the bat I found at Emmaus. After executing my perfectly timed cover drive, I looked closely at the face of the bat. And I kept looking. After about 30 seconds, I had a peculiar feeling that this was my bat. This was the bat I'd been given for my birthday all those years ago. It couldn't be, surely. I was completely astonished. I hadn't seen the bat for donkey's years, but here it was. How did it get here? Had it been donated as part of a house clearance? Frustratingly, I can't remember how I came to let it go in the first place. So, was this just a really weird coincidence, or was it a sign of something momentous? Perhaps I was going to win the lottery, or was I going to be called up by England at the ripe old age of 62 and against all the odds help England win the Ashes? What does it mean? As I write this, I don't have any of the answers, but perhaps you do. Perhaps you had the bat at some stage in the last 10 or 15 years, but like me, let it slip through your hands. It's a mystery. And we all love a good mystery. So if you can help me solve this one, please let me know.
Thank you, Mike. And it will be interesting to know if anyone knows any more. And that's the end of this October edition of the Chatterbox Norfolk Magazine. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Thanks go to our readers Kevin Ford, John Francis, Caroline Aldrey and Sarah Wingate-Gray. Contributions from writers Charlotte Nelson, Kate Wolstenholme, Catherine Lana and Chris Armstrong, to columnists Nick Aitchison, Nina Nanar and Mike Liggins, and to our sound recordist, Catherine Rose. We'll be back again next month, so for now, from me, your editor Sarah Lusher, goodbye.